Welcome back to another Flagstick.com podcast. I'm your host, Scott McLeod. Today we want to talk a little bit about engineering. Now, when it comes to brand new golf equipment, most consumers really care about one thing. They want to know how it performs for them, how it's going to make them better, how it's going to make them enjoy the golf game a little bit more. In order for that to happen, a lot of engineering and design has to take place. So at companies all around the world, engineering is a huge part of what they do. And for companies like Ping Golf, engineering is at their core. We recently sat down with Vice President of Engineering at Ping Golf, Dr. Paul Wood, to discuss how the engineering culture has helped the company at Ping grow and provide better golf equipment and a better golf experience for consumers around the world. We hope you enjoy this conversation, which took place at Ping Golf Canada on September 20th, 2017. So with Paul Wood, who's the Vice President of Engineering for Ping Golf worldwide. And Paul, Ping is a company that's very driven by engineering. Why don't you sort of relate the importance of that maybe the consumers don't fully understand?
Yeah, it's a big part of what attracted me to work for Ping in the first place, coming out of academia, that it is an engineering-first company. It's hard to overstate how important engineering is to Ping. Carsten was an engineer who got into golf because he felt like he could do a better job engineering a golf club. And, you know, he was just a golfer who wanted to play better golf and thought, well, I need to develop my own clubs for this. And John has that passion and love for engineering. John, obviously Carsten's son, and has been with Ping since the very start. He's got 58 years of experience in golf, and it's all been coming from club design, testing, research, engineering. You know, he might not have an engineering degree, but he is an engineer, and he has been an engineer since 1959. And it's his, you know, I don't think people probably don't understand how much time our CEO, John, and our president, John Kay, his son, spend with engineering. We have a meeting every week without fail with both of them, going over every single detail of every single club, from the very earliest point in development until the point that it goes out the door. The innovation team, so our kind of more long-term technology development, presents every single project we work on to our president and our CEO, which I think is pretty rare. You know, we have interns that start and within a couple of months of presenting to the CEO some aspect of what we're doing. That's how much, you know, he cares about the engineering and the product and the detail that goes into it from him. You know, he's our best knowledge resource in the sense that he can pull up something from memory. Well, hey, we tried something kind of similar to this in 1975, and here's what we found, and I'm not saying you shouldn't look into it again, but let's learn from what we've already done, and it'll point us in just a slightly different direction, and away we go. You know, and he's forgotten more in 58 years than I'll probably ever get to. And you know, being up in 12 years, I'm a newbie. But it's really exciting, just in my time, we've been able to continue to build an engineering department for the 21st century. We now have 5 PhDs on staff. We have, you know, a lot of engineers. We have a well-established innovation group. We have functional experts. As we keep pushing the boundaries of what we do with materials, with manufacturing, with physics, with simulations, we need subject experts in those areas. That's why I came on board as a mathematician. That's why Dr. Henriksen, who's running the innovation team, came on board as an aerospace engineer. We have specialist material scientists, we have specialist manufacturing engineers, because we're getting to that point where we're really pushing the boundaries of what we can do.
And you've blended in other things with consultants that are biomechanists and different types of things as well, right? Because that's all part of it. And
yeah, it's part of building that network of who can help inspire us, who can help point us in the right direction, who can help us answer questions we can't answer by ourselves. It doesn't make sense for us, right now at least, to have a full-time biomechanics expert on staff. But it does make sense for us to have this relationship with Dr. Sasha McKenzie, our engineering consultant, who's one of the top experts in that, and we can work with him and try to answer questions and inspire each other. And we have a few of those. It's been a great program for selfishly for engineering, and hopefully it's been good for them too, to kind of bounce ideas off people with skills that are really interesting to us but aren't our core. understanding.
Yeah, I mean, you've had a living laboratory as it is with, you know, with obviously your range and being able to test with consumers and tour pros, but there's sort of that in-between of those other people that deal with certain other areas, whether they're coaches, you know, in Andrew Rice, they have a little different look at things, right?
Yeah, and exactly. You know, they're coming at it. At the end of the day, you know, we're in the same business as a coach. We're trying to help people play better golf. We're just coming at it from a different side of things. Fitting's probably right in between what us as club builders or club manufacturers and coaches and folks out there working directly with consumers. You know, you can change your swing, you can change your clubs, or you can kind of change the settings of your clubs, the fitting. All those things are aimed at shooting lower golf scores. Mm-hmm. It's just coming at it from a different point of view. So if we can get some insights from a coach, you know, he can maybe, she can inspire us to where we point our research and some of the questions we're trying to answer. And even, is what we're doing working? You know, if you have to be able to, all the science in the world is great, but you have to be able to join the dots as far as, did it somehow get the ball in the hole better? Because mm-hmm. that's what the player cares about.
Sure.
You know, the sort of turbulator features or fancy materials or whatever it is are only as good as, did it help me do things on a golf course I couldn't do before? Mm-hmm. And that's what excites them, and that's what keeps them playing golf more. And gets, you know, it's a fun sport. That's what we're in, you know, unless you're actually making a living on the tour. Mm-hmm. Most people are playing it for fun. It doesn't always feel that way.
At least we hope so.
Yeah.
And I mean,
you have to have enough fun to keep you coming back.
Yeah. Right? And I guess that's a big thing as far as the direction of the company is that, you know, it's not driven so much by consumer trends or colors or things like that. It's really the engineering first, you know, and the other end of it can come,
yeah,
but it comes sort of later and as part of the packaging of that engineering, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely performance first. I think, you know, we're learning more and more about how do we combine the hard engineering of what contributes swing speed and optimal energy transfer and the best launch conditions. How do we pair that with some of the more softer side of it, the psychology of how does that inspire confidence? Because that can help you play your best golf just as much as, you know, a mechanical advantage. And so can we pair the two? Can we appeal to all of the golfers' senses? I think we're getting more and more understanding of that piece. Not necessarily, you know, hey, red's popular, let's make a red club, but what can we do that actually addresses the whole golfer, the brain as well as the muscles? And that's, you know, that's an area we've probably got 10, 20, 30 years more fun and research. And I mean, there's a lot more to do in golf. No one's made the perfect golf club yet.
And I guess that's one thing is that, you know, people say, you know, what, is there anything left? I mean, obviously in your mind, there's lots left.
Oh, just come and look around the innovation department. There's so much stuff left. You know, we've got, Eric and I are hoping we've got, you know, a good 30 more years of research and development and exciting stuff. You know, manufacturing is improving, materials improving, our tools for measuring things are improving, the data we can get is improving, our understanding of the psychology is improving, but there's room in all those areas.
Perfect. Thank you.